Ian Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. Jay Southland, Tow Service, text line 913-586-7965. We'll get to some of the rookie QB's performance in a second, but I do want to pass along some news in the NFL today. Monday after week one, there's been some injuries across the league. If you thought it was bad for the Panthers yesterday, of course, and their blowout loss to the Saints, things have gotten worse. According to Tom Pelissero, their Pro Bowl defensive lineman Derek Brown suffered a potentially season-ending knee injury in their loss. The meniscus injury will require surgery to determine the exact timeline, but a team that's just not very good already now may have lost one of their best players on the defensive line. Also last night, if you were watching a little Sunday Night Football, you saw that the Rams and their loss to the Lions suffered more and more injuries on the offensive line. Looks like Steve Avila, who left last night's game, he's believed to suffer an MCL sprain. Also Cowboys tight end Jake Ferguson, who went down with a knee injury. I first thought maybe it was a ACL tear. It's going to be a non-season ending MCL sprain. So those are just some of the injuries that are going on in the NFL, including Steelers. I shouldn't laugh, but Steelers punter suffered a season ending knee injury in their win over the Falcons.
Not insignificant across the board. And this is goes back to the whole thing. Like, where injuries are a really difficult excuse in the NFL because every single team deals with these. I mean, the Chiefs were without what we presume to be wide receiver number two on their team for week one against the Ravens. And like I think what was going into the year or going into training camp, running back two and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's like, Sometimes you got to find these other parts, or you got to find or maneuver or build your roster in a way where you can cover some of these losses. No injury or amount of health was going to save the Panthers. They were screwed no matter what.
So we'll keep an eye on any other injury news and news in general across the NFL. Remember, there is a Monday Night Football game, tonight, with the Jets and the 49ers. So let's talk about these rookie quarterbacks, though, because there was a lot of eyes on how the rookies would look, understandably so. Caleb Williams making his debut, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. Yes, Bo Nix in Denver against the Seattle Seahawks, starting with Caleb Williams. So he gets the win. He's the one rookie quarterback that got a win in his debut. And he, I thought, was pretty humble, actually, in post-game talking about his day, because he didn't put up great numbers. Guys, he was 14 of 29 for 93 yards, averaged 3.2 yards
per pass. Those are bad numbers.
It was not a good day at 15 yards on the ground, but their defense and special teams won them that game. The Bears get the win, 24-17. I'm sure that will probably be one of the worst stat lines we see from Caleb Williams this season. Overall, it's really hard to have a much different opinion on Caleb Williams after 1 week. He didn't show anything that you now view him in better light. I don't think that means he stinks either. It's just like one of those where, like, they won, but it sure as heck wasn't because they have the quarterback now.
No, it's because their defense got a pick six at a timely moment, or beat up on Will Levis late in the game. And their special teams were really good. I will chalk up week one most of the time, including Cincinnati, which we can get to later, Drew. But like, I will chalk up most of the time that week one is weird, and I should not make all my opinions on one player just based on week one. I kind of thought Caleb Williams would come out of the gates a little stronger. A little bit stronger. 93 yards. And, you know, he's throwing the ball 4 yards per attempt. This goes back to the same problem. I don't like Eberflus. I don't think they have somebody who is going to offensively move them forward with a quarterback who should be challenged in that regard. They won, though. And, I mean, he made a couple of nice passes there at the appropriate time. So I can't really bag him for that, but I was not blown away. The person who impressed me the least was Bo Nix, which is surprising because Drew told me and maybe this is a preconceived notion. Bo Nix averaged like 3 yards per attempt. He was the worst QBR rating out of any starting quarterback not named Bryce Young in the league yesterday. He threw two awful picks. He didn't throw the ball more than 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. Everything was next door. I thought it was terrible. Really, really embarrassing.
It just wasn't much different than what they had from Russ.
It felt like Russ.
It's game number one, right? But that's all we have to go off of.
They had a better QBR than Caleb Williams, it looks like.
Yeah, I think ultimately it ended up being slightly better. Jaden Daniels was the most impressive of the three, where the other two were, very average at best. Jaden Daniels was impressive because of what we knew. even if he struggles as a passer, we all know he's got the legs, right? He's got the dual threat ability that the other two really don't have. And that's why Jane Daniels, I think overall, you come away from their loss against the Bucks and you felt like, okay, there were some good things from Jane Daniels because he's always going to be able to make something happen, at least with his legs while he's trying to develop.
He didn't blow me away either, but he just didn't I wasn't bothered by his performance.
I mean, I think
he looked like a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he was 17 of 14. I mean, he by far had a better completion percentage. He almost threw for 200 yards. He had a nice rating, and he was able to run the ball. I think that ultimately is what, you know, him being able to run and his scrambling ability is what made him look better. I didn't watch the Bears game. I watched a little bit of the Commanders game because I wanted to see Jaden. It looked like, in terms of throwing the ball down the field, though, in their attempts, it looked like they were trying a little bit from the incompletion standpoint and the interception standpoint to let Bo Nix kind of air it out. He was making some mistakes. Missed Cortland Sutton a couple of times. The two bad picks. I don't know
if... I don't know if 42 times was his plan?
No. Probably. Well, and they couldn't run the
ball.
For
138 yards?
And they couldn't run the ball. Bo Nix had the most yards on the ground.
How the hell do you throw it 42 times and only get 138 yards? To go with two bad interceptions. I mean, right to the defender interceptions.
I mean, Caleb Williams almost threw 30 and threw it for less than 100. So I think... he was on pace. Yeah. I don't... And doesn't have the weapons that Bo Nix does. I just think it's the rookie... Week one problem, but in your
ranked in order of impressiveness,
Jane Daniels is by far number one.
If I ranked him out of 32 quarterbacks, none of them would rank high. Jane Daniels was the best, I guess. Caleb Williams was the second best, I guess. And then I thought Bo Nix looked the worst, but not by some wide margin. It just didn't. It looked like three rookie quarterbacks who the game hit them pretty fast, pretty hard in week one. Now, again, maybe there's some more upside there, and certainly the Bears are going to win some games, maybe just on the strength of their defense and special teams, which puts Caleb Williams in a good spot to maybe do some winning. I'm still not impressed. I told you this going into it. The reason why I didn't buy into the Washington Commanders as a division team is I didn't think their defense was good enough. I didn't think their offensive line could hold up. And some of those things were just true yesterday. They still look like a very incomplete team.
Chicago's defense last year is why they got to 7 wins. Remember, they got hot. Yep. Everybody thought their head coach was going to get fired. And then they were able to rattle off a bunch of wins at the end. And it was because their defense became one of the better defenses in all of football the final 7 to 8 weeks of the season. So that looked like that is still there. They were also playing Will Levis, who was horrible at times in the win for the Chicago Bears. They'll get Caleb Williams going. I don't think any Bears fans should be panicking. But also, if your reaction today is Caleb Williams won his debut and it's the first time a rookie quarterback is... Okay.
In week one, by the way, because somebody said, did Mahomes win his debut? He did.
In week 17 or whatever.
Yeah, week one is what they're talking about.
But a week one rookie, it wasn't because of him. I guess if you're trying to compliment him, you would say he didn't lose the game for them. He didn't throw a pick six or something like that. So I think...
Which Will Levis did.
I don't think he will still be the best of the three that we talked about, but it was a week one performance from all three rookies where you're like, okay,
they all look better than Bryce Young.
Yeah, man.
Is he just a bust?
He might just
is it too early? It.
He might just not.
Is he just a bust?
To me, I think that
you usually know pretty quick, man.
I know, but for quarterbacks, I think it takes a little bit longer because of the system that you're drafted into. As a quarterback, I think you get 3 years.
And a lot of times in quarterbacks, you get second life. Look at how good Baker Mayfield looked on Sunday.
Geno Smith eventually figured it out.
I mean, knock on Bryce Young, come out of college, man. He's undersized. There's a lot of the stuff is showing up right now. I don't think you should write him off yet, but it's certainly trending in that direction. Let's see what the next month or two look like for him before we just go ahead and call it after a terrible week one performance, because that's just not a good football team, period.
Tepper, I think all of it goes into everybody's struggles. I think that
yeah, it's a horrible organization.
Yeah, I think that hurts the
he's
the
already got two head coaches in less than a year and a half. I mean, that's part of the problem. So I don't think you should write him off, but there's definitely not been much there. Normally there's a there's something man, he had that one performance or that. There's been very little moments where I see it now. I just hasn't.
Not sure there's a single one. It was an interesting week one, as we would expect, because, the Chiefs won and then there's some close games and then all the drama with Jamar and his contract and Dak Prescott got paid, seemingly minutes before his game on Sunday. But the most interesting off the field thing involved a former Kansas City Chief, Tyreek Hill. detained by police before the game in handcuffs on the ground. Seems a bit intense for a traffic stop.
Right.
Calais Campbell saying a Walter Payton Man of the Year winner, I believe, was also handcuffed and trying to approach the police and finding out what was going on with Tyreek. He is a magnet for this stuff is really my takeaway in this. I actually think this might be a case of overambitious cop got a little too overambitious with Tyreek. I actually think that when the body cam stuff comes out, it might make Tyreek look better in this situation. Why is he always in the middle of it? No matter what, that man can't avoid a headline. He's in it every time. And then, of course, he can't just like a lot of people with their legal stuff, just, you know, ignore it so that people forget about it for a minute. Instead, he's getting handcuffed behind the back for a touchdown celebration. Nuts. Nuts.
Yeah, without knowing what happened, I mean, he might have reacted a certain way. Who knows? I think it seems a lot like the Scottie Scheffler situation where we're going to find out that it was somebody that was overreaching a little bit. We'll see. Is he always involved in something? Yeah, that's very true. But on the surface, it seems like this was a situation that just could have been handled a hell of a lot better. We'll see. They placed one officer on paid administrative leave while they investigate. Yes. So we'll find out as time goes on. This is what Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, had to say,
had a camera fast.
And I know Rosenhaus lives in South Beach, so he's right there. But man, I'll give him credit for this. Your agent that you're giving, you know, 3% of your salary to.
And it's a big salary to Tyreek.
He was on the scene with his client within 15 minutes. And he was already headed to the stadium because the Dolphins were about to kick off their season against the Jags, and he lives in town. But man, oh man, he was there. He was already there on the curb with his client. I mean, that's an agent. I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah, dude, he's got to be his agent for life. Are you kidding?
This is what Rosenhaus had to say. I think this came from CBS yesterday.
It's number one. It's very upsetting as Tyreek's agent to see the way that he was treated. I wasn't there when he was stopped, but just to see my client in handcuffs, some of the video that we're seeing is unnecessary. There's no reason that Tyreek should have been treated that way. We're going to look into that after the game, so we'll have more on that. But number one, Tyreek's okay. Very upset, but okay. He'll focus. He'll do what he has to do today. Tyreek said he was just pulling into the stadium, and it's a legal situation, so I'm not going to get into a lot of the details, but he felt like things got way out of hand. And we'll be talking to his legal representation, and there will be an investigation. This shouldn't happen to a player who's entering his home stadium. It's just absurd. I'm sorry for Tyreek. And while I'm not pointing fingers, something obviously happened that shouldn't happen relative to the police officers on the scene.
So we don't know exactly what happened. Like someone on the text line said, "Hey, so speeding's okay if you're a star." That's not what any of us have said. If he was speeding, he should
give him a ticket.
Give him a ticket. But how did it escalate from speeding to he's on face first on the cement in handcuffs?
Yeah,
we're gonna find that out. It seems like an overreaction, right? On the surface, nobody's defending him speeding.
No, if he was speeding, man a ticket.
If he was a speeding, yeah, give him a ticket.
He can afford it.
But we don't know. Like, what was that interaction like when he got to the when the police officer approached the car? Who knows? Hopefully, we just find out it was a complete misunderstanding and all that, but that shouldn't happen if that's what occurred.
Since he has, even when he was on, but since he has left the Kansas City Chiefs, the one reason why I'm always so happy they made this move, not just because they've won two Super Bowls, and I don't, you know, like Tyreek obviously did not impact their team enough from a win-loss perspective that it stopped them from doing great things. He's been gone for 2 years, and all they did in those 2 years was win the Super Bowl both times. He absolutely leads the NFL in off the field news events, right? The Chiefs just don't want, Andy Reid doesn't want that kind of headache. He doesn't want a player who leads the league in off the field news events. Rashee Rice has an off the field news event. Certainly other players have had those as well, either this offseason or over the last 2, 3, 4 years. But Tyreek leads the damn league in it. It turns into, and it's not like fully, like that's what he took that crown from like Antonio Brown, who for 2 years led the league in off the field news incidents. Like, you just don't want that kind of constant thing floating around is all. He also, by the way, I'll say, because that touchdown in which he did that hands, but I mean, Tyreek Hill is still one of the most impressive players in the NFL at all times. He's the only player in the NFL that I think on any play is capable of scoring 80 yards, and I can't doubt it. It does not matter the play. He's the most likely player in the NFL to score an 80-yard touchdown. Is he not?
Yeah, of course. No, nobody's ever questioned his ability. That's why teams have put up with his stuff at times off the field, even though I don't think this circumstance necessarily should have been to this level. And you know, text line, everybody's speculating on what exactly happened. We'll find out when the investigation details are released in terms of what was that interaction like. But yeah, something happened to where you get pulled over from speeding to suddenly you're in handcuffs on the ground. So one way or the other, somebody, whether it was Tyreek or somebody else.
Somebody escalated
it way too far than this thing should ever have gotten.
You ever been handcuffed?
I have not.
What about in a non-legal situation?
No, I have not.
I knew you were going to answer no. In which case?
Both.
Yes, in both. Both cases. Well, I told you I've been arrested, so obviously I was handcuffed. Oh. Like, that's not.
When's the last time you've been handcuffed in any form or fashion?
Since I was arrested, probably. Well, I don't know. I'm not keeping track of that. I don't know.
Oh, so it's more than. So you're saying it's not. It's, there's too many times.
You said I can't give you a date. That's all. I told you I actually got handcuffed.
Oh, this actually
coming back from Colorado one time, even though I wasn't in any kind of legal trouble because he didn't want me to. When he searched my car, I thought I was a drug mule.
Thinking of handcuffs, we didn't get to something last Friday.
What did we not get to?
You did your song.
Oh, yeah.
One of the agreements of the ban for that day being lifted was you also had to tell us something that our listeners, believe it or not, have waited 2 years for, which is what did you get your wife from Mother's Day 2 years? Mother's Day of 2023.
I think so.
And maybe it was handcuffs. I don't know.
It was not. So everyone wanted, first, I wasn't trying to avoid it on Friday. We just got busy and I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, it's not really on me to try to like, you know, like you've got to approach it so I can get it out there. I wasn't trying to avoid it, but it wasn't discussed on Friday, so I still owe the audience that. It is nothing of a sexual nature. I think that's what the text line wants it to be. This is the honest to God answer that I didn't want to give you then because it was embarrassing then and it's embarrassing now. 2 years ago, at Mother's Day, I didn't get my wife anything.
Oh,
I got her nothing.
No gift. That's why you didn't have an answer.
I didn't have an answer, and I didn't want to give an answer because that's an embarrassing answer to give.
How did you forget?
I didn't forget. So
Cody,
it wasn't an intentional
lapse.
The
mother of your children.
That's the problem. I am usually a very thought. So here's my problem. I'm like boom or bust, whichever the NFL comparison is for that. I'm boom or bust. I either think of the most elaborate, thoughtful, carefully thought out gift, or I got nothing. Zero. And I should have just like got chocolates and a card and moved through it, but I didn't. And I got nothing. And I didn't want to admit that on the air that day.
Yeah, that's
now 2 years later, I'm having to admit it. Didn't look good, but that's what
you make up for it like the next year.
Yeah, Christmas. Like, yeah, Christmas would have been the next gift giving opportunity because her birthday's a little after Christmas.
Did she get you something for Father's Day
that year? Yeah, she did.
So you're Gabe Davis.
Okay, yeah, Gabe Davis. I'm the Gabe Davis of present givers.
You got someone trying to back you up, says she's not your mother, the kids respond. Okay.
Dude,
she's the mother of his children.
Here's the problem, text
she's
line.
The mother of his children.
Here's the problem. I made a whole point on the show that I think Mother's Day should be about the moms in the trenches. It should be more about the people actively having to do the mom stuff than it is. Yeah. So, like, I don't have a leg to stand on in that regard. That has not been my stance.
I believe you because that would be something that's not a good thing. That someone's thinks you're covering you,
not,
for
I'm not covering,
a much different story.
I promise to be honest on this show, and I will continue to be honest on this show. That is the honest
I think it's a conspiracy.
Truth. Nick, if you went back and listened to that audio, you hear Nick and say, he probably got nothing. I said, that's it. You got me. And I said it like that. And he was like, is that it? And then he talked himself back out of it. Like, dodged one there. If you went back and listened to it, you'd hear it at the time. But I got her nothing. And that felt bad. And I've tried to make up for it ever since. I try not to go another gift without, you know, like, I just turned 40. Her 40th is coming up in January. I got to make sure I get something nice or Christmas. Like, I can't miss another opportunity. Otherwise, I'm screwed. By the way, it was just released what Tyreek Hill was cited with.
Okay.
He was cited with careless driving and a seatbelt violation.
Okay, so nothing.
Yeah, it sounds like he was just kind of weaving through traffic and going too fast. That's all it was.
Yeah, I don't think in any situation, if that's what they ticket you for, you should end up in handcuffs on the ground.
Correct. Who
knows? It's my personal stance on the matter.
I agree. It's just like without having the body cam footage of knowing what was said, like it should never, a traffic violation should never escalate to that point. But I also don't think. At the same time, I'm sure Tyreek Hill wasn't like, oh, hello, sir. How are you doing? Oh, no problem. I'm sure it wasn't that. But at the same time, I mean, how does it escalate to where somebody's in handcuffs? You know, that's the part that is,
Calais Campbell came. I think Jonnu Smith was another one that came
teammates.
Over.
Calais Campbell got charged with disobeying a direct order. They probably told him to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, like interfering with law enforcement or something.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, it's kind of now a nothing burger, I think. But not a good look for everybody involved, right? Like, Miami-Dade police, bad
look. Like, just Tyreek is the last person who needs a video of him getting handcuffed. It's like, last year his house was on fire. It's just always something. He's just like a magnet for big news stories. Like, more than anything else, even if some of it's definitely his own fault. Some of it that, like, you know.
95% of it's his own fault.
But it's just like, there's always something. I don't
Second
know
time
what
in the last
is.
3 months that we've seen a player, an athlete get...
Oh, as I said, it reminded me of the Scottie Scheffler thing.
But there's a huge difference because Scottie Scheffler had the reputation of world's nicest human being.
Yeah.
Like, it was shocking because you're like, Scottie Scheffler? Of all people? Tyreek, you're like, he's had some run-ins. I don't know what this is about, but we'll see. Again, I don't think any circumstance should lead to that if it's just a reckless driving ticket, but I don't know what the hell happened. I guess we'll get body cam footage eventually, don't you?
I'm sure. There'll be something.
Are we sure Cody not getting anything for his wife isn't trash of the day?
We don't have time for it, but that basically was that you didn't get your wife anything for Mother's Day.
I thought trash you remember Russell Wilson was in full pads even though he was inactive.
You remember to get Drew and I gifts for around the holidays, but you didn't remember to get your own wife Mother's
One
Day.
Time! Yeah, no. One time I've given a gift in every other circumstances in my entire life. I pride myself in my gift giving ability.
To your point.
One time.
To your point though, Cody, it's only Russell Wilson could be inactive and so show up in pads and the jersey and
doing high knees on the way on the bus.
iPad and be look like he's ready to go, even though we know good and well he's not playing.
That was weird.
Yeah, that's Russell.
I think the Steelers might be better without Justin Fields in there.
Well, of course they are. That's why it was weird. The line, once they announced Justin Fields was starting officially, the line moved towards the Falcons, which I think was a mistake. Like, no, their chance of winning are still better with Fields. However, they kicked 6 field goals, guys. They didn't get a touchdown with Justin Fields either. 6 field goals, and they still beat the Falcons. That Falcons offense was not in sync.
Falcons did score a touchdown, though.
They did and still lost. It was weird. The whole game was a weird game.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure Arthur Smith felt good about himself.
At least, he got his revenge. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Arthur Smith revenge game.
That's what it was.
He got him.
Yeah, that's
6 field goals. That's how the Chiefs used to lose games. They lost a playoff game once in which the Steelers kicked 6 field goals.
To the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, the Steelers, man.
Up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Back into Patrick Mahomes in particular and what he's been able to do already for this franchise and what could we see later on this week at the wide receiver spot. That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Now it's third down, 11 for the Chiefs. Football back in their own territory at their own 47-yard line. Ravens crowd the line of scrimmage, twist up front. Mahomes trying to buy time, moving to his right. He's in trouble, shakes free. Now fires the ball right side. It is caught by Kelce, first down. Down to the Raven 30-yard line. All the way across the field for 23 yards. And now Patrick Mahomes just passed the late, great Len Dawson for the most passing yards in Kansas City Chiefs history. And it's only poetic that he goes to Travis Kelce for 23 yards to break the record.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5, The Fan, and Patrick Mahomes did pass the great Len Dawson in that game when it comes to passing yards, over 28,715 passing yards. He owns the mark also for the most passing yards through 97 career regular season games in NFL history. And I agree with Mitch in the call there. I mean, that it is fitting that pass went to Travis Kelce. You think about the yardage and the duo, one of the great QB receiver duos we've ever seen, and certainly tight end duos in NFL history. And I was just thinking more about where that stands up and also all the records that he's already broken, and yet he's not even 30 years old at this point. We know the Chiefs records, he's going to own every single one.
He pretty much already owns a lot of them and will own the rest.
NFL-wise, though, I mean, I was looking a couple of these up. You know, he already has the fastest to 10,000 career yards, fastest to 25,000 career
stats.
Passing yards, you know, fastest to the 100 touchdowns, fastest to 200 touchdowns. You know, what's interesting to me, one I didn't realize, total touchdowns, passing and rushing in a postseason, he's got 12. He did in 2019 and in 2021. So he's done that twice where he had 12 passing or rushing touchdowns in the postseason. He did that in the 19 run and in the 2021 run.
Like, we talk about Super Bowls all the time, but it's not just that. He's already eighth all time in passing yardage in the postseason. He is 250 yards behind Drew Brees. That's it. a guy who won a Super Bowl and played in a lot of playoff games in his life. He's 250 yards behind Drew Brees. He's 600 yards behind Joe Montana, 700 yards behind Brett Favre. He could pass all those this year if for some reason he played three playoff games again. Only 700 or 800 behind Aaron Rodgers, 800 behind Ben Roethlisberger. The only two guys he's legitimately chasing are Peyton Manning, which he trails by 2,000 yards. It'll take him a few years to get there. And Tom Brady, who he trails by, and this is not a made-up number, 8,000 yards in the postseason. Because he played in so many playoff games, he was able to rack it up. I try not to do the negative in this because it would be easy to be like, well, yeah, of course he leads the Chiefs in all the passing yardage things. Their only other good quarterback in their entire franchise's history, essentially, was Lynn Dawson, who played in the we barely invented the forward pass era. Okay? I mean, he didn't play in a passing league. So Lynn Dawson was a great Hall of Famer, their all-time best quarterback ever until Patrick Mahomes stepped foot in the building. And the only other good quarterback maybe they had the entire rest of the time was the couple of years Joe Montana rolled into town. And so if that's it, if that's all you got as quarterback, yeah, he's going to bury some of these records. But it probably shouldn't be dismissed because what he's doing historically probably matters even more than passing the Chiefs once.
No question. I mean, he also, this past year's playoff run, most playoff victories for any quarterback before the age of 30. And so he's going to have a chance this year to add a few more to those before he turns 30. There's going to be such a long list. I mean, we've joked even, you know, we've tried to figure out, you know, at the station, we've done like the top 20 plays kind of stuff of Mahomes' career, and knowing that it's still on the front end of his career, like it's tough to narrow that list down. So think about the records. Like, you're not going to be able to fit that on. You can't fit all the records on a T-shirt. Okay, you can't fit, you know, the banners of his accomplishments. You're going to have multiple banners of those. I mean, just it's amazing, and that's why he's positioned as not only the best in the league right now, but when the dust settles and his career ends one day, the question will be not just, oh, where was he at, a top five of all? No, it's going to be whether or not he was the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah,
or not.
He's not chasing numbers anymore. He's chasing one number of Super Bowl titles. He's officially already there, which is kind of wild because he's 28 years old, but that's just what he's chasing. I don't even care. Like, some of the other records we'll bring up, right? If he breaks the division streak record. And by the way, based on
nothing I saw yesterday,
nothing on Sunday suggests this wasn't going to be a cakewalk to another AFC West title. I'll tell you that. Herbert looked, Raiders looked even worse. The Broncos looked horrid. So, like, no part of that made it seem like the AFC West wasn't in the bag. He can chase those records, and that's okay, but he's only chasing one thing. At the end of his career, will people think he was the single greatest quarterback to ever play in NFL history? That's the only thing I'm going to be left asking at the end of this. And that requires, as you and I said, at least four or five rings to do it. I think he immediately starts threatening that with the three-peat this year, because then, again, we've talked about this.
Of course.
Accomplish something Brady hasn't accomplished. Head-to-head matters, but can only matter so much, because quarterbacks don't technically play each other. They play each other's defenses, whatever. But we count it in other scenarios. It's not that it counts as nothing. It's just other things count as more.
Textline was asking where we have just some of the names in Chiefs history. How do we rank them out in terms of quarterbacks? Obviously, Mahomes 1. Lynn Dawson is 2. And then the third, it's weird because Montana wasn't here for a very long time. If you just take his entire career, of course, Montana would be
quarterback. He'd be 2, probably.
Yeah. 3, I mean, Trent Green, let's probably not forget what he was able to do. I understand they didn't have the playoff success we all would have hoped, but he
Alex
was one
Smith,
of Alex
or
Smith.
Brent, I don't know, Kenny, I guess, from the 80s, maybe.
I would put Trent Green at 3 in franchise history, and then Alex Smith is right there. And I know people probably now appreciate Alex Smith more than they ever did when he was playing here. Right? That was the sad reality of the situation. That I think more and more people appreciate him than they did in his final year or so than he was playing here. But yeah, I think Alex Smith and Trent Green are absolutely in the top 4.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it
has to be.
I love that, like, half of them are in the Andy Reid era. Well, one is in the 60s. And then, yeah. And then you got Trent Green, who ferried a lot of very good teams and had a lot of very good offense, including one of the better offenses, like a top 20 offense in NFL history. During that time, his problem was that he was playing with some of the worst defenses in this team's history. And he was going in an era in which Peyton Manning ran the AFC, Tom Brady, you know, like, whatever, it doesn't matter. the early years of other people just being better than you. He had a nice run. Trent Green's probably three for me, but yeah, Mahomes one, Dawson two.
He won a Super Bowl. Says no love for Brody Croyle. Yeah, no, none of that. Sorry.
He's somewhere near the bottom of that. Like, who's the worst quarterback in Chiefs history?
That played for more than a year?
Yeah. Like actually started, you know, like let's say a season, you know? Brody Croyle's probably on that list.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a major disappointment. Remember when people actually thought when they drafted him at the time, like, oh man.
I want someone who did like
what wasn't his wife doing the Toyota commercials for a while in town?
I
think it was like a Latham Toyota or something like that.
That sounds right.
I think she was doing a bunch of commercials at the time.
Again, and it's not he didn't pan out. He came at a time when Chiefs fans were so hungry they couldn't help it. My guess is that is it
Tyler Palko?
Yeah. I think it's Croyle. I think my answer is
Croyle was drafted by the organization.
I didn't watch the team in the 70s or whatever, but like I'm going to guess that Brody Croyle is the worst starting quarterback in this team's history. I don't want to say for sure, but that's my active guess.
He was a third round pick. Whereas some of the other guys you mentioned weren't, you know, like
Tyler Twitch is mentioning Damon Heward or Thigpen.
Yeah.
Thigpen had a few games. He had a couple of moments.
He had a few games. Like, Tyler Palko wasn't drafted, I don't think, by anybody. He just happened to get picked up for 1 year in Kansas, you know, in Kansas City.
And he didn't even start a whole year, you know?
Right? He got signed on, let's see, this says he was elevated to the 53-man roster in 2010. He played in the closing minutes of the game. Let's see, he played in the, he played in a handful when
Matt Castle got hurt. 8 games. Yeah. I mean, I can't put that on Palko. Brody Croyle was supposed to be the starter for this team. Was the starter for this team. Tyler Palko was just a backup quarterback who had to play a little. He's played in 8 career NFL games.
Trivia question for you real quick. Tyler Palko, do you know who his first touchdown pass was and how it occurred?
No? Oh, wait. No, I don't have any idea.
I didn't either.
He lives in Kansas City,
too. It was against, does he?
Palko.
His first touchdown pass was against the Bears. 38-yard Hail Mary to Dexter McCluster at the end of the first half.
Oh, well, he can't possibly be the worst quarterback. Listen to that. His first ever career touchdown was a Hail Mary.
That's what it says.
Dexter McCluster?
Yeah, first NFL touchdown pass against the Bears on a Hail Mary.
I guess I'll try not to forget that now. By the way, Drew had mentioned it earlier, the loss to the Raiders last week. If you're looking to watch that get revenged, just as a quick reminder, so she's right off hour, don't forget, Alex and I are going to be broadcasting live on the Thursday and Friday before the Chiefs-Raiders game in Vegas, live from Stadium Swim. And then on Friday night at Overhang Bar, drink specials, chance to win a pair of tickets to the game. You can come watch the weekend at Stadium Swim at the world's largest sports book. We're in an awesome time. You said a buddy of yours already booked some hotel rooms over at CircaLasVegas.com. Yep. We were just there. It's an awesome time. Circa Swim is incredible. October is a pretty good time to be in Las Vegas. Starting to get a little bit chilly here. Still gorgeous by the pool there. So if you want to come see us, we're going to be there for the revenge game or the puppet game or whatever else they want to call it by the time that comes around. And we'll be doing our shows live again from Stadium Swim Thursday and Friday that week. And then a cool party that night at Overhang Bar.
Yeah, and if you make it out to that party, we'll have tickets for that Sunday game, if you get what I'm saying there, when it comes to what we'll have up for grabs. I'm not allowed to say. You kind of pick up what I'm
tickets
I'm
for
out there.
A game
that happens
place
to be on Sunday.
On Sunday, mm-hmm. Played in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That game.
Featuring teams from Kansas City and Las Vegas.
Yeah, and one team wears red and the other wears black.
If that doesn't give it away, well then.
Those tickets.
Yeah.
On that party on Friday.
And seats are pretty good.
Yeah, Circa. I mean, the place is amazing. It really is. And we hope to see you guys out there. We're going to have a great time. I know a lot of you are already planning on going out anyway.
Yeah, I know some people are going to be out there too.
If you're going to be there and you already have plans before you knew we were doing a party, just stop by Friday night at minimum. And check out what is the largest sports book in the world and a 143-foot screen outdoor by the pool. And as you were saying, here the weather might start to get a little chillier. Out there, it still might be in the 70s or 80s. So it's going to be terrific. A lot of people saying, hey, what about Todd Blackledge? Of course, he's one of the biggest disappointments ever.
He's better than Brody Croyle, though. Relax.
Given where he was drafted, I think, is what people are weighing, right?
Well, this is the DK Metcalf problem, too. It's not just where he was drafted. It was the other quarterbacks who were drafted around him that they were all future Hall of Famers, man. It's like you could have thrown a stone and hit a Hall of Famer in that first round and somebody didn't get it. But you know what? We don't have to live that way because in that same
draft. At least for Todd, good.
Yeah, like now you got Mahomes.
I was going to say, at least for Todd, he's turned out to be a very good broadcaster. He's had a long career broadcasting.
Yeah, it was
very good.
And he's actually pretty damn good at that.
Somebody said Brody Croyle broke all of Joe Namath's passing records at Alabama. Well,
in college, Brody Croyle, which is the reason why he got drafted in the third round. People, in college, he had a very nice career.
That tracks with Alabama quarterbacks. Not too many of been...
Well, now Alabama quarterback's getting a better reputation. Tua and Jalen and some others.
Mac Jones has killed that. he's the most recent Alabama quarterback.
He's the most recent, but Tua and Jalen Hurts just got mega deals, sure. And one was in a Super Bowl, would have won MVP of the Super Bowl and all of that.
Yeah, Oklahoma still claims him, though, too.
I know we're going to get into like some of the matchup stuff as we go on later in the week, and we're expecting to hear from Andy Reid coming up at noon, but I'm already asking myself, so I'm guessing here we'll get kind of an update on Hollywood Brown. If there's any chance he's going to play on Sunday, Andy will crack that window open a little bit here at noon is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage, how much, like, he adds to the offense, what, if he's able to come back in? Because I think it's still a pretty significant upswing because of the skill set he possesses. I'm not over the moon on Hollywood Brown. He's essentially in his career a 750-yard wide receiver. I don't think he's turning into a 1,400-yard wide receiver or a 1,000-yard wide receiver, which he's done once just overnight. But his skill set directly lines up with what they were already doing well last Thursday is what intrigues me. And for an offense that already looked like one of the better ones in the NFL on last Thursday, I kind of think there's a nice little 10%, 15% uptick in this offense if Hollywood Brown is able to be healthy and out there on Sunday.
And I'm skeptical whether or not he's available on Sunday, much like you. I don't think they're going to rule him out today. There's no reason to do that. I think you'll get a little bit of the... We'll see how practice goes. You know, he's getting there. You know, he's getting there. We'll see how he practices, kind of thing. I doubt we're going to get anything definitive on his status. And that's a lot of people have kind of circled week three against the Falcons. But if he's available against Cincinnati, it's a huge boost. I mean, as excited as we are about Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown has that ability to stretch the field, but also I think he's a really good route runner. I've said it multiple times. The comments that stuck with me from Mahomes
were the route running
back in, I don't know, April or May, I guess it would have been, when they were working out down in Texas at Camp Pat and all that kind of stuff, was Patrick Mahomes mentioned basically how much better of a route runner than he realized. And that's something that I've remembered since that. We'll see it in action. But if that's the case, I imagine, yeah, he has an opportunity to stretch the field, but he gives them another third down reliable target. Xavier Worthy, they're going to have some plays designed for him. He's going to continue to improve as a route runner as the year goes on. We obviously know about the speed.
But he's going to be Brown, the big hitter type.
Hollywood Brown instantly gives you another guy to me that you can rely on to run a great route
to make somebody
open
else
on third
open.
Down.
Or like, yeah. Not just him, but help get somebody else open. Because that's the part that always gets missed out of great route runners, which Travis Kelce, even when he's not having like a big important game, I told you the route he ran to get Noah Gray open towards the end zone. What's missed in great route running is the time that when you do your job, somebody else is standing by themselves because you ran where you were supposed to. You didn't run into the other guy's route. You ran it deep enough to cause problems. And that's the other part. They were already six. It's 1 week, but they ranked top 10 in this last year. Six in the NFL last week or so far.
Yeah,
obviously
I got you.
The 49ers haven't played and the Jets haven't played. In ability to convert into a new set of downs. Like, who's the best at giving yourself a fresh set of downs? Well, the Chiefs were the sixth best in the NFL this week. And there were five other teams who did a nice job. You know who were second to last, third to last, and fourth to last? The rest of the AFC West. And so when you get into where he can really help you, it's extending those drives, getting more points. The thing I desperately want him to help in is the red zone stuff. I hate to like bring that back up right away, and it won't stop them from winning the Super Bowl. I feel like everything we have to bring up comes with the caveat of this will not prevent them from winning the Super Bowl. But if you want them to dominate or be more dominant or win some games late that maybe could slip away, being better in the red zone can make a big difference. And being a good route runner can make a big difference in that versus it's hard to count on a rookie to always do the right thing.
It's just if you're Cincinnati, you saw what happened against Baltimore. Yeah. Rashee Rice, these underneath routes, slant routes, destroyed them. Travis didn't even have a great game in terms of receiving numbers, but you know you can't just let him loose. If you do, good luck. And then now, potentially this week, if not the next week, you add Hollywood Brown to the mix. Like, this is why the offense is exciting. This is why everybody's optimistic. They have so many more weapons once everybody's back up to health. And right now, that just is talking about Hollywood Brown.
Yes.
They have so
I'm
many
in
different...
I'm going to hear later, but we know that that's down the road.
Just on offense, Just on offense, like, who are you going to not prioritize if you're a defense?
Probably Hollywood.
You know, or if Rashee Rice keeps doing this stuff that's there all day, these slants, then...
Him and Kelce have to become the focus.
Yeah, and so that's where suddenly everybody else is open. Eventually, then it opens up the running game more. Like, this is the whole plan, if you will, and why this offense is going to be a top five offense when the season is over. For these very very reasons. But now, if I think Hollywood Brown, without even hearing from Andy in 10 minutes, is going to play on Sunday? I think it's like a 25% chance max that he plays. I would love to see him out there, but there is no reason for them to push this thing at all, especially with how the offense looked against Baltimore. Get him ready for the Falcons game, and heck, if he's not 100% there, then as disappointing as it would be, make sure he's a full go. That's when he gets out there. There's no reason to push anything. You know you're playing, 18, 19, 20-plus games these days if you're a Chiefs team.
The Chiefs have an incredibly long history of babying injuries to the extent where you're like, again? Like, where you'd be like, okay, I get he's not going to play against Cincinnati. But then you'll get to the Falcons week and you'd be like, what, not even that one? They'll be like, well, turf. Don't want him playing in the dome, so we'll see him against the Chargers the follow. It'll always be longer than you think for kind of any Chiefs player in that regard. But because of the difficulty of the schedule, the first 6 weeks of the season, we talked about this. You actually need Hollywood more now, just as if you want to win every game on your schedule perspective, than you do later. Because Cincinnati, and I know they lost, and we can get back to that. I still don't think Cincinnati's like an awful team. That's just an awful loss. An embarrassing loss. And look, maybe their window is just closing or getting slammed shut because that happens to teams. But, at Atlanta, again, 1 week is not going to make me think that they're just garbage. At the Chargers, and now that, at home against the Saints looks a little tougher before you go to the 49ers. The next 5 weeks are still incredibly, intriguing for the Chiefs. Now, by the way, if they go 5-0 in that stretch, I'm going to assume they're going 17-0. If they come out of that stretch undefeated, I will be prepared after the 49ers game on October 20th to say this team is going undefeated. Nothing will stop me from thinking that at that point. And I don't think you either.
Well, the conversation will be there. I just think we saw here in week one of the season why the NFL is so great that the gap between these teams, we can make all the jokes we want about Carolina is terrible and all this, but truly in the NFL, there are always surprises, and it's the reason why it's so hard to bet on the NFL. Teams usually, the margin of victory, usually on average across the season, is like 2 to 3 points, not 20, not 15. Like, this isn't college football. And so that's always something in my back of my mind. But I think you're right in that if they were to somehow start 7-0, yeah, of course the question would come up, part of this three-peat campaign. Wow, now can they also make, could you imagine during a three-peat run?
They're undefeated? They also That's a lot of pressure. Although, that's a pressure cooker.
The last time a team was undefeated in the regular season with the Patriots, they didn't get to the ultimate prize. I think everybody would sign up for a 14-win season if it meant a ring versus a 17 and a loss.
Yeah, I don't care about the undefeated season completion.
That adds to it, but if it's 17-0 but they don't win the ring, people won't remember the season that much.
What a brutal way to end the three-peat. Could you imagine?
That's the bar that they've set. It's nuts.
Finishing undefeated in a regular season and then losing in the playoffs or a Super Bowl, that would be the most devastating way to end a three-peat of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you're obviously the best team and everyone can see it. But that's how I felt about the Chiefs this weekend. I watched a lot of incredibly mediocre football on Sunday, and I'm assuming you would agree. It was kind of eh. I wasn't just like on the seat like, ooh, look at how good all these players. No, it was like a lot of like, all right. Yeah, I guess you're all just teams. I'm not over the moon. The Ravens and the Chiefs, in a lot of ways, came out of that game still looking like maybe the two best teams in the NFL.
And there's always overreaction. Some of it's legit. Some of it's got history, some of these teams. Yeah, and look, like, do I think, even though we're giving Drew a hard time with Cincinnati losing to New England because it was a bad lot, do I think Cincinnati's only winning 6 games now? Of course not. But it was a terrible loss. Like, that's a real thing. Does it change your perspective on, like, if you had them going to the Super Bowl? I'd be a little nervous. I would love to know how many teams in week one lost to a team like that and still went on to win a Super Bowl. I would guess the list is very, very few. Like, the Chiefs had a bad loss to the Raiders on Christmas. The Raiders were not what we think New England is going to be this year. That game, it was a little bit different. That was later in the year. Your teams are dealing with it. This was week one of the season when you're supposed to be fresh and good to go, and you had that. Plus just some of the offseason stuff. So we'll see how it plays out. But there's some teams that reconfirmed, I guess, your preseason thoughts. And there's other teams that
you're like, I thought you were better.
Yeah.
Like the Falcons, right? Like, I thought the Falcons were better than giving up 6 field goals and losing to the Steelers. But the Steelers do that to a lot of teams.
Like the Saints, I don't think the Saints we suddenly think are, making the playoffs. What confirmed was the Panthers stink. That was what was confirmed. All right, we're expected to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid exclusively here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Maybe an update on Hollywood Brown. That's next.